Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1. Miss Kay, I did not do that. I know we talked earlier last week, but that was not me. So don't hold it against me and keep praying for me, please. Luke chapter 1, I'm with Pastor John Mark. I so appreciate Miss Kay's prayers for me and their faithfulness over many, many, many years. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, and I was thinking about our song service. You know, if our song service doesn't point you to Jesus Christ, then we're doing something wrong. We're doing something wrong. And man, praise the Lord, this morning we get to sing to Almighty God. And man, we don't get many chances during the week. And think about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to come and be with fellow believers and lift up our voices to Jesus Christ. And man, I tell you, what a great, great song service this morning. Luke chapter 1, and we'll read verse 13. And it says this, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord God, we thank you for fellowship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look at our week, and Lord, there were times, Lord, that we failed you. There were times that we, Lord, wanted to do better. But Lord God, we come into your house, Lord, and we're so thankful that, Lord, praise the Lord, that our eternal life is not dependent upon what we did this week. Lord God, it's dependent totally on the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that separates us from every other religion or cult or whatever it may be. Lord God, we have someone that walked this earth, and we know that as fact, that he walked this earth. The apostles testify to it as well as he does in the Gospels. And Lord God, we know that we are saved by the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. As we have come through this Thanksgiving week and we come into Christmas, Lord, we should have joy, Lord God, that you were born. Lord God, that you were born for us, and then you lived your life and you died for us, and then you rose again. Lord God, may we never, ever, ever get over that, Lord God, in our lives. And Lord, if there's someone here that has not trusted Christ as their personal Savior, why would they not? Lord God, why would they not join in to the great plan that you have for us, Lord, and for eternal life? Lord God, we thank you for your word, Lord, as we read this morning, and Lord, and we start in Luke, and Lord God, we think about your word, and Lord, how your word lifts us up. And Lord God, how your word, and we get in there, Lord, we read your word, it encourages us. It shows us the way. And Lord, we look forward to this morning, the message you have from us from your precious word, your precious word. Lord God, thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And we appreciate the song service this morning. As he mentioned, the choir, man, great job. And then also the quartet with a special. And Miss Stephanie of the Oratory, so thank you for that. Man, and just the music, I was thinking as we were singing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And, you know, Martin Luther wrote those words over 500 years ago. Still true today, right? Still true today. And just as we sing those songs of the faith. So, man, just thank you for the music this morning. And good to see Jonah and Patty and that grandbaby here, too. And so, man, glad y'all are in and stayed in for the service this morning. I know we had other family in for Thanksgiving, but good to see them in here this morning. Luke chapter 1, we were in the book of Acts, I think I mentioned last Sunday morning, for 43 messages, and so finished up last week in the book of Acts, and we've got the month of December coming up, so we've got this Sunday, and then we have, I believe, 5 Sundays in December. We'll be having our regular services, by the way, just to let you know, December 24th, Christmas Eve morning, regular services on that morning, so be in place for Sunday school and church and all that. We'll have those coming. So we'll do this over the next few weeks. We'll talk about some different things that pertain to the Christmas story, and we're going to start here. We're not going. This is not a study of the book of Luke, all right? So we're not going to do that over the next several months. But I do want to talk this morning about the first part here in the book of Luke. And so Luke chapter 1, Brother Jason read one of the verses there to you. Look back at the beginning of Luke chapter 1, verse number 1. Look at the very beginning. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And so this is written by Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts. It's also written to the same person, Theophilus. We don't really know who that was, but written both the book of Luke and the book of Acts, written to him. And it says here in verse number 3, from the very first, or from above, this was given to Luke. Obviously, he wasn't present when all these things happened. And so God gave him what to write here, as he did to all those that wrote the scriptures. And so here in the book of Luke, we have this story really before we ever get to what we talk about as a Christmas story. We have this story. And the story here, the birth of John the Baptist, and we'll talk about this morning a little bit. We won't get much further than the first few verses here in Luke chapter 1, but talk about John the Baptist and what God did through his life. And so from the very first, notice what it says here. Verse number 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. So we're introduced to a couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, which y'all know about already. Both of these, descendants of Aaron. She a descendant of Aaron. He is a priest, obviously a descendant as well. Anyway, they come together here, and they're married, have been married for a while. And I want you to notice the verse we read. We'll come back to a little bit. Look at verse number 13. The angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." We have here this priest Zacharias. The Bible tells us in verse number 9, according to the custom of the priest offices, Lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And what tradition tells us is this, that was a one-time experience for a priest. If they were blessed enough, then, and many of them never got to do it, but one time in their life they'd get an opportunity to go in and burn incense before the Lord. And so that is Zacharias' opportunity now. And so he goes and does that. As he's there, verse number 11, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And so as Zacharias is there, an angel appears. Now, you got to remember this, and again, without going into too much detail here, but it's been about 400 years since anybody's heard from God. If you go back to the end of Malachi, and then really this is the first statement we have in Luke chapter 1, from the end of Malachi till now, it's been several years and no one's heard from God. Nobody's heard anything from God. There's not been anything written. There's not been anything said. It doesn't mean that God hasn't worked. We just don't have anything recorded biblically during that time. And so as Zacharias is there, and he's there with in the temple, this angel appears to him, and so it's not something that anybody he knows has experienced before. And so verse 13, the angel gives him something and says this, "Thy prayer is heard." So what we have here is this, we have an answer to prayer. And by the way, God still answers prayer, okay? God still answers prayer. We pray because God answers prayer. And we have here an answer to prayer. The birth of John the Baptist and what goes on, it's an answer to prayer. And so this is God listens to what this prayer of Zacharias. And by the way, let me give you this. Look at verse number 6. It says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." It does not mean they're perfect. But it does mean this, they were living right. They were living righteously before God. They were, anything that they knew that was sin, they were trying to stay away from that. Anything they knew they were supposed to do, they were trying to walk in that. They were walking with God. But let me stop here a second. That's the Christian life. When you get saved, it should be you're trying to do everything the Bible says. You're trying to walk with God. Commandments he gives us, the things he tells us to do to be blameless before others, we're trying to. Now, none of us can do that perfectly, but it should be this, as we know what's right to do, we do it. We do it. You say, "I want my prayers answered." You know how they got their prayers answered? They're walking righteously before God. What does the Bible tell us in James? The effectual, fervent prayer of, we like to stay there, effectual, fervent prayer, man, get serious about praying, and you should. And that effectual, fervent prayer, that avails much, man, that accomplishes a lot, and it does. But let me tell you something, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man availeth much. You say, I want God to answer some prayer in my life, do something, then you start living right. Start following what God says to do. You start doing what the Bible says to do, walking, and Elizabeth and Zachary together, by the way, that's what it should be, young men, young ladies, you find somebody that's walking with God. God can bless your home as the two of you together walk with the Lord. The best home, the best thing you can do for your children is to walk with God, is to walk with God. And so you have Zacharias and Elizabeth who are walking with God, and God hears their prayer. Both of them, the Bible tells us, look at verse number 7. And they both were now well stricken in years. In the Greek, that means they were old, all right? So they were old. And let me tell you this. The older we get, you know what, God has not blessed them with children at this point. The older you get, the best thing you can do for your children. Well, now they're out of the house. Now I've got one that's away from God. What do I do? I tell you what, walk with God. That's the best thing for him. You know what happened? The prodigal son, his dad stayed exactly where he was. When he came home, he knew his dad hadn't changed. And he said, well, they're in college now. They're out of the house now. What do I do? You keep walking with God. You keep living right before God. That'll be a help to your children. That'll be a help to them. And so both of them righteous before God, both of them well stricken in years. We want an answer to prayer. We live right. We want to rear good children. Live right. Follow God's word. That's how you rear good, godly children. And then what happens in verse 13? That prayer is heard. And God answers that prayer. And he tells them this. Your wife will bear you a son, and thou shalt call his name John. He tells him, hey, his angel says, Zacharias, your wife's going to have a child. Now, we know this, and we won't really get to this morning. Zacharias wasn't really sure how that was going to happen, right? He knew his wife was old, and she was past, as best we know, past childbearing years. And because of his doubt, God's going to give him an opportunity to not speak for a while, right? That's later on. But so Zacharias is not sure how this is going to be, but God gives him a promise. And by the way, every time God gives a promise, he delivers that. He says, you're going to have a son. Your wife's going to have a son. And thou shalt call his name John. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist sent from God. And so that prayer is heard. Now it's interesting as we see this answer from God, your wife will have a son, and his name shall be called John. The Bible doesn't really tell us. In fact, verse number 13, thy prayer is heard. The Bible doesn't tell us what that prayer is. Now, it could have been that they were just praying for a child, and that's possible. Also, it could be this. It could be Zacharias as a priest. He's there one time. He gets to burn incense in the temple, and he's there. He could have been praying for who? For Israel. For God to do something. For God to send. No, and God heard that prayer. I don't know what prayer was, but I do know this. God says you're going to have a son, and that son is going to be the one who prepares the way for Jesus Christ. Hey, it's time for the Savior to come. It's time for the Savior to come. And so that prayer, and I know this, there have been many that have been praying for a long, long time for God to send a Savior. And so God answers the prayers of those that prayed and says, thy prayer is heard, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, thou shalt call his name John. Then that prayer is answered, verse 14, and it gives them, the angel gives them a couple things here. He says, first this, many shall rejoice at his birth. You know, we think about that with Jesus, and again, in no way, and John the Baptist will be the first to tell us, we don't want anybody to take the focus off Jesus. But it says, many shall rejoice at the birth. You know why many are rejoicing at the birth of John the Baptist? They're looking for that forerunner. They're looking for that one to prepare the way that God talked about in the Old Testament. And because they know when he comes, that means the Savior's not far behind. And so this answer to prayer says, many shall rejoice at his birth. Look at this in verse 15. Those of you that have children, you think as Zacharias heard this, first of all, he says, this child that's going to be born, this son named John, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And isn't your prayer for your children that they would be great in the sight of God? In the sight of God. And not in the sight of the world. Not in the sight of those that, and the attention that comes to all. but that they would be great in the sight of God. What does God tell us in 1 Samuel 15? God looks on the what? God looks on the heart. God sees your heart this morning. And for God to see the heart of a young person and that they would be great in the sight of God. Boy, I hope that's your prayer for your children this morning, that they would be great in the sight of the Lord. I think about the story in the Old Testament, the story of Job. And remember, Satan came and he's talking. What does God say? Man, what if God would say this about us? God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? You thought about him. Why? Because Job was what? Great in the sight of God. Others around may not have known, they may have, I don't know. But he was great in the sight of God. That's what was important. And there's so many things in our life today that take precedent over doing what God wants us to do. The Bible says this son, this child is going to be great in the sight of God. And then look also at verse number 15. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, if God was to tell you this morning your child's going to be great in the sight of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, how many of you sign up for that? I hope you would. Now, by the way, let me not get sidetracked here. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at verse number 41. Verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at verse number 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. How in the world was John the Baptist filled with the Holy Ghost? And maybe because they had a mom and dad that also were filled with the Holy Ghost, right? He had a mom and dad that were living right. They were trying to do right. They're trying to teach him what was right to do. And so as they did that back in verse number 15, he should be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. This is some things you need to keep him away from. In fact, the Bible tells us later on in Ephesians, right? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. If we're going to be filled with the Spirit, there's no way we can allow the things of this world, in particular, it mentions alcohol, to fill us, all right, to control us. And what's the Bible teach us there? Just as someone, when they get drunk, that they're controlled by that, we should be controlled day by day by the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist was, as a child, as a young man, filled with the Spirit. And so there's a promise from God. He's going to be greater than the sight of the Lord. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I just mentioned a couple months ago, as a parent, how many would sign up for that? Hey, I want a child that's greater than the sight of God. I want a child that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I hope you would. But also, understand something. What happened to John the Baptist? Before he was even 33 years old, he was killed by Herod. How many would sign up for that? Now, I hope you would. I hope you as a parent say, hey, I'd rather God use my child. I've read this before, but I was to the young people at chapel at the college there a couple weeks ago. I read again Adoniram Judson, his letter to his future father-in-law, asking for his daughter's hand in marriage, and he started that letter basically saying this: would you be willing to give your daughter up to die a violent death on a foreign land? I mean, that was his opening statement. Imagine dad's getting that. Hey, I want to take your daughter, marry her. She's going to die a violent death. You'll never see her again. And by the way, what happened to her? She went to the mission field, saw many saved, but she died on the mission field. Her parents never saw her again. Would you be willing to do that? Hey, John the Baptist, a child that was great in the sight of God. In fact, later on, Jesus would say, there's none greater born among women. Now, I'm not telling you this morning, you have that's what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but are we willing to give our children over to God? He should be great in the sight of the Lord. He should be filled with the Holy Ghost. Keep him away from that wine and that strong drink. And so it tells us, many shall rejoice at his birth. They're going to be excited about the birth of this child. And then lastly, look at verse number 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Not only will many rejoice at his birth, but many of the children of Israel shall be turned to God through this child. God says to Zacharias, I'm going to give you a son. Your prayer is heard. There'll be many that rejoice, and many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord the God. How's he going to do that? Verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah. In the spirit and you think about the spirit and power of Elijah. We don't know. We were told a little bit about the ministry of John the Baptist. We won't get into all that today, maybe next week. But we're told a little bit of that. But we know a lot about Elijah, right? Elijah's the one that the prophets of Baal, he took them on. He took on Ahab and he called down fire from heaven. We also have in 2 Kings chapter 1 where those they came to capture him and he called down fire from heaven again. We have Elijah, the one who prayed and there, it didn't rain. We also have Elijah at the end of his life. He parted the Jordan River there and God took him up in a chariot. We have that spirit and power of Elijah. And God says that's what John the Baptist is going to have. He's going to have that spirit and power of Elijah. In fact, hold your place there. Go just a little bit back to Malachi, the very last chapter in the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4, the very last thing we have 400 years before. What's written here in Luke chapter 1 is what's written by Malachi in chapter number 4, the last two verses there. Verse number 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. The last promise from God before the Old Testament ends is I'm going to send someone, a prophet, before the coming of the Lord. And who is that? That's John the Baptist fulfilling that prophecy from Malachi chapter 4. What's he going to do? Back to Luke chapter 1 and verse number 17. He should go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He's going to turn the fathers to the children to the fathers. He's going to turn them back to each other. He's going to turn us to those that we love, those that we care about. Also look at this in verse 17. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, of those that are doing right. It won't be long before, go to Luke chapter 3, and again, not to jump too far ahead, but it won't be long before John the Baptist is preaching what God said he was going to do. Look at verse number 7 of Luke chapter 3. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. What should happen? When we get saved, there should be a turning away from sin and turning to God, right? Hey, there should be a difference. Once you're saved, the way you live should be different than before you were saved. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. There should be a change in your behavior. There should be a change in your behavior toward others. There should be a change in your behavior toward God because you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit in you now. You have the righteousness of Christ. And it should be that there's a turning away from sin. One of the problems in our country today, in our world today, nobody's turning from sin anymore. No, we're just going to keep going. Hey, we'll be fine. No, no, no. What does it say here in chapter 3? Well, I just read you in verse number 7, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? God hates sin, and God judges sin. He does. If we're going to live right before God, if we're going to do as Zacharias and Elizabeth did and live blameless, then there has to be a turning away from sin, a turning away from sin. You cannot continue in sin and expect God to bless you. You cannot. And here, John the Baptist put on earth to preach and to tell those, hey, turn from your wickedness, turn from your disobedience. Verse 17, to end the verse back in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The angel tells Zacharias, you're going to have a son, and he's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In closing this morning, let me ask you this. You think about this Christmas story. John the Baptist was there to prepare them for what? The coming of the Lord. This morning, are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? Now, Jesus already come once. He's already come once. But what does he tell us in Acts chapter 1? As you see me leaving, I'm going to come back. What does he tell in John chapter 14? He tells his disciples, say, I'm coming back. Hey, Jesus coming back one day. Let me ask this morning as we close. Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? If you never trusted Christ, you're not ready. You're not ready. You need to trust Christ today. Be prepared. And then if we're saved, you're going to say, I know my way to heaven. I know. Are you prepared for His coming? Hey, are you living for God today? You're ready for His coming. If He was to come today, you're ready to go. Are we really ready? Are you prepared? John the Baptist, his responsibility is to prepare them. Hey, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. And to point them to Christ. This morning, are you prepared? Are you ready? Well, I sort of need to do that. No, no. Are you ready today? Because He could come today. And we say it and say, well, He could come today. Because sure, He could come. Do we really think He's going to come today? But I'm telling you, are you ready? Are you prepared if He comes back today? You have the testimony of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Hey, we're trying to walk with God and live for God today. Today. Are you ready for His coming? Father, as we look at the story this morning, we see the prayers of Zacharias. And your answer to that prayer. And what an answer. Send them a son who would prepare the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. Lord, a man in John the Baptist as he grew up who would literally point to Christ. And Lord, this morning we don't have Jesus in the flesh to point to, but we do have the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God to point people to. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us to point others to Christ, to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And Lord, it's a wonderful thing to look forward to, excited about you coming back. But it's also, Lord, it should be mixed with some fear if we're not ready. Lord, I pray, first of all, there's someone here that's never trusted you as Savior. Lord, they are not ready. Lord, they're not prepared. Lord, you promised that you'll come as a thief in the night and be quick. And those that aren't ready will have no more opportunity. Lord, I pray that there's anyone here that's never been saved, never trusted you as their Savior. I pray this morning that they would take care of that now. Then those that are saved, Lord, are we truly ready? Are we prepared for the coming of the Lord? I pray that we would be. I pray we live daily prepared and ready for your return. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. And nobody looking around. Let me ask you this. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Do you know for sure if you die today, Jesus, if He comes back for you personally, individually, or if He comes back for all of us together, no matter if the rapture happens today or if He takes you home today, do you know for sure? Do you know for sure if Jesus was to come for you, that you go to heaven? Not because of your righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. If you can say that this morning, you just slip your hand up like and say, I know I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven this morning. Put your hand right back down. Here this morning you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know if that my time was today or if Jesus was to come back today, I don't think I'm ready. I'm not talking about the way you're living. I'm talking about salvation through Jesus Christ. And you say, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know for sure that I would end up in heaven. If that's you this morning, if you just slip in up and say, pray for me. I won't embarrass you at all, but say, pray for me this morning. I need to get saved. I need to get saved. I'm not sure about my salvation. If you're saved this morning, are you ready? Now, if you're like me, we can all think of things that I could do, but I'm talking about what John the Baptist came and said, to turn them from sin. Maybe there's some sin in your life, some things in your life that need to be taken care of, and you need to take care of that now. Don't put that off. Don't put that off. Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Christ? Are you going to be embarrassed if Christ came back today? Are you ready? And if you're not, make sure you get to an altar there at your seat, whatever, you talk to God, and you start getting some things taken care of, and turn from your sin. Turn from it. As the music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
Glad you're here this morning. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock for the service. To be back in place for that tonight. Don't forget next week prayer meeting and our young couples class. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. If you noticed, tried to help you a lot. I did not preach on gluttony this morning, all right? So I gave you another week to get that right, all right, before we talk about that again. Maybe I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy this week. Jonah, always good to have you, and why don't you close in prayer for everybody.